The Cosmic Shed.
You're listening to The Cosmic Shed, a show that explores the way science and storytelling collide.
We'll be talking about films, books, music, theatre, TV, and anything else that catches our curiosity. From rigorously accurate science fact to ridiculously speculative science fiction.
We don't want to nitpick, but to celebrate the ways science and art can complement and enrich each other.
Mostly, we just want to talk about nerdy things that make us happy.
We've decided to do all of this from a crumbling garden shed somewhere in suburban Bristol.
The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between. Hello, and welcome to The Cosmic Shed. It's just me, Andrew, in the shed again today. Well, just me and a rather large wasp. But I wanted to bring you this, because last night I had the opportunity to go to a play here in Bristol called Dinosaur Park, and it's been produced by Super Bolt Theatre. I have to say, if you have any chance, do try and get to see the play. It is incredible amounts of fun. If you're a fan of Jurassic Park, and why wouldn't you be, then just try and find it somewhere. I know they're doing some festivals this year. They tour all around the world, these guys. And to find out where they are at the moment, just go to superbolttheatre.com. Obviously, we'll post that on the website as well. I think the best way for me to explain it, really, is if I tell you that there are moments where there's a man on stage who's a 40-year-old dad with a moustache, and literally a split second later, you could swear, with no added props, that he's a velociraptor. Some of the physical theatre in it is just some of the best I've ever seen. It's done with a huge amount of love and respect for the Jurassic Park film. After the performance, I managed to catch up with two of the guys from the company who had been performing in the show. And the other voice that you'll hear is Ty Singh, who, if you heard our contact episode, you'll know that he's joined us to be part of the Cosmic Shed.
I'm Frode Jarlov. I'm a Norwegian actor and director and one of the artistic directors of Super Bowl Theatre.
And I'm Simon Mader. I'm Swiss-British and, yeah, the same, artistic director, performer, director of Super Bowl.
The show Dinosaur Park is set in Lyme Regis, where a family of three are commemorating their paleontologist mum, who died a year ago, with a memorial screening of Jurassic Park, her favourite film. And then they've forgotten the tape, so they end up reenacting the film as best as they can to kind of mend the damage and save the day. And that's where the comedy comes from.
Why Jurassic Park?
We wanted to do a story about a family, and we also wanted to recreate a film, because we were given this amazing three-week headlining slot at a festival in London. And they said, you know, we like you guys, we like your work, can you just do a new show for us? And we had no idea what we would do. So we had this idea of the family, and then we thought, okay, what's the most unstageable film we could possibly do? We looked into Godzilla, we looked into other stuff, but then
we knew from pretty early on that it was going to be Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And we thought Jurassic Park, and then we, okay, let's consider everything else. Yeah. But then we just kept coming back to Jurassic Park, and I think that's how we knew it's going to have to be that.
And you also need a film that the audience probably knows inside and out to get.
This is the thing.
Yeah. We really wanted to do that with our. This is our fourth show now, and we wanted. We made an active decision to make something we knew people might relate to already, as opposed to something that's a completely original thing. We were up for doing an adaptation this time round, which was a new thing for us.
I noticed on your website that you've got a play called Uncanny Valley.
Mm.
Which is, you know, something to do with science fiction as well.
It is. Frodo's pointing at me right now. I'm a big sci-fi fan, big fan of Jurassic Park and all these sci-fi books. But it wasn't my idea to do The Uncanny Valley, I don't think. Because The Uncanny Valley, our third show, is a show about a man who falls in love with a robot. And
that happened in a similar way, I think, to the choice Jurassic Park. We sat down one day, what are we going to do next? We've got to do something on robots. For some reason, we've just been seeing loads of stuff about robots in the news, and it just seemed like the world was telling us to do something on robots, so we did. Yeah. And it's quite a similar story to Her, which we realised when Her came out a few months later.
Yeah.
But it's later than us.
And Jurassic World was it was released, the trailer was released, it was announced after we'd made the show.
Oh.
So we had no idea that suddenly this 20-year-old film would become super relevant in today's day and age. Everyone went to see Jurassic World, we went to see it, and it was really good fun, and it just kind of brought Jurassic Park back into people's minds.
I was really lucky. We had no idea.
It
just came out. Wow. And then that was just before Edinburgh, which we did with this show. So I think that was really good for us.
And Sam Neill came to see it in Edinburgh.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Not really.
Sam Neill himself.
Wow.
Yes.
Only
Simon knew while we were performing. because someone...
Yeah, a producer somewhere.
Yeah, someone... She's lovely. But she came up and told you just before the show because she was really excited.
Yeah, kind of wish she hadn't because I was very nervous.
Simon did really well, though. We had no idea that anything was going on. And then Samuel came up on stage after the show and thanked us, not in front of the audience like that, you know. But he was really sweet and, has been really supportive ever since, and we've really, really appreciated that.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, he's tweeted about the show a couple of times.
He's
really
been great.
Great guy. And, really nice.
And so the show's in Bristol at the moment.
Mm.
How old is this show now?
Just over a year.
Year and a half, yeah.
Year and a half.
Is it carrying on?
Yeah. Probably going to Canada next year. And this autumn we've got a few different festivals. We're going to Lickfield.
Yep.
And
we're going to York Takeover Festival.
Yes. And Wilderness Festival. Yeah. So doing a few different places,
cool,
which you can look up on superbowltheatre.com.
There's some amazing dancing in the show. I particularly enjoyed the dad dancing.
The weird thing is we're not trained dancers. I mean, I don't know, you'd never guess.
It's uncanny.
I saw certain female members of the audience kind of look at each other and go, Jesus, he's got
wiggles.
No, we don't have a background in dance, but we all enjoy movement a lot. And the school we went to in Paris, Jacques Lecoq, the International School of Theatre, is a movement school.
Okay.
So the whole first year is about learning how movement works and how to make things move on stage using your body. So I think we all know how to use our bodies, but we're not dancers in terms of that discipline.
Yeah, we had a great choreographer.
That's not our language.
Natalie Allison. She choreographed the Britney dance. We do a dance to Britney Spears.
There are a couple of dance numbers throughout, actually, which, I mean, I certainly wasn't expecting, but were great.
This is the thing, when you try and talk about this show to other people who haven't seen it, you go, well, there's a bit where they dance to Britney Spears, and they kind of do Jurassic Park, but they also tell another story, and there's this whole list of things that shouldn't really fit.
It might be worth mentioning that you do see Dennis Nedry, and you see the dinosaurs, and you see T-Rex, and it's all there.
It's all there.
There's also a rap to Gangster's Paradise about the feminist undertones of the film.
That's right.
Yeah, and the dinosaur, I mean, what do you call that? Is that puppetry? Is it movement? What is it that you're doing there with the dinosaur?
Magic.
Magic of theatre.
Magic is real.
Okay.
I guess it is kind of puppetry.
Know. Yeah, a little bit of puppetry.
Yeah.
I mean, the Velociraptor was very good.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just, we just think of it as movement.
Yeah.
We don't call it puppetry or acting or dancing. It's just movement.
It's theatre. It's all very planned out. So that each move is just a phrase, part of a phrase that leads into another, that leads into a bigger picture. So we're all, you know, when we rehearse and when we create stuff, we make sure to all know exactly what our relationship is to the other people on stage and how we can step in and amongst each other so that we never have any collisions, never any uncertainty. That's very much our, you know, we like being slick and sure of what we do.
We like to be slick and sure of what we do. But I would also say that the we play characters that aren't very good at moving.
Yeah.
And then I think that's why it ends up sometimes seeming quite impressive, because we're doing simple things but that seem too complicated for those characters.
Okay.
So we're doing something and then everyone's like, wow, the 50-year-old dad dances like that. And it blows people's minds. And it's actually, the dancing isn't that great. Well, that's me judging myself, but that's what we're playing on. We're playing on people who are bad at what they're doing, surprising the audience and being so good.
It's a theme of our shows, really, is ordinary people doing extraordinary things that the audience just wouldn't expect. And we have that thing, that motif of, in our other shows, of greeting the audience and being very much in the same space as the people who were in the theatre.
Yeah.
Because we don't have that sort of fourth wall break. I mean, we do in this show at points when we go back in time, but then when we're telling the story of the film, we're very much there with the audience, and that's good fun.
And I would say what we were talking about earlier with the phrases of movement as well, it's almost like in the beginning we introduce the physical language of the show, so we tell people a bit what they're up for. So we see the family kind of play a little bit like they might have done when the kids were smaller. They're pretending to be in a car, and those images are really simple and quite stupid, a bit banal. But it's just so the audience accepts that this is the kind of imagery that we're going to be talking with now, or like that we're going to be using.
Yeah.
And that means that later the audience are pretty much experts at interpreting our images. So later when you see the T-Rex being portrayed by an object that I won't reveal now, then you're reading it immediately. Yeah. Whereas if we had that as the first scene in the show, audience members would have been like, I don't get what's going on. Maybe, you know. We kind of clue you up a bit throughout the show.
We make sure not to start with anything too crazy too quickly. And then,
exactly. Yeah. We build it.
So in terms of the storytelling side of things and the writing of the play, how does that function?
The three of us write a lot of material early on. So a few months before we know we're going to go up with the show, we generate as much as material as possible. We do a couple of weeks of just experimenting and playing around with different ideas, completely uncritical to what's going in the show or not, but then take it with us for a while and let it sort of simmer, and then we decide what direction we feel good about, and it has to be something that all three of us feel like that feels right, and then we start molding it and creating it, and it takes shape as a show. We go back to the table, then back to the floor to improvise, and then back to writing again. And then when we come up towards the show, our director Tid comes in, who is really, really, really good at seeing what works and what doesn't, and what structure we need to tell a clear story and that makes it coherent. Because by that point, we just have this abundance of ideas that don't make any sense to anyone else than us. They're like, oh yeah, no, it's all linked, but in this really weird dark matter. And then so he finds the clarity and helps us communicate it. He shaves away all the unnecessary stuff, and I think that's where the biggest, most important writing changes happen. It's like dramaturgically
two weeks.
And physically he makes it work then.
Okay.
And then we work on it before every run. We work on it during runs. Not creating always new material, but fixing what worked and didn't work in previous runs. And so it's ongoing. We were working on it today.
Okay.
It's a year and a half later.
We have to, because the social environments that we've played in have been very different as well. We did 11 weeks in Australia. And Australian humour is slightly different. They don't have the West Country Accent Association.
Yeah.
So there's a few things that we maybe get for free in the UK, or that we've made specifically for the UK, that then we need to do differently when we're abroad.
When you're putting it together, how do you decide what scenes you're going to do? I mean, it's Jurassic Park, so obviously you're going to have the T-Rex attack.
Yeah.
In terms of other set pieces that you're going to work around, do you go, right, we need this scene, and then everything else forms around that? How do you put it together?
When we did that R&D, the very first thing we did that week of just messing around and all that stuff, we tried lots of different things. There was at one point we were leading an audience member, in inverted commas, around the lab and stuff like that, and then we dropped that. The only thing...
That idea was a completely you, me, bum, bum train, like... In like immersive theatre idea, we thought maybe let's take one audience member on a tour.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we scrapped that. But the only thing, but we did all sorts. We just tried doing all of it.
Yeah.
And so how would we do Mr. DNA? How would we do the T-Rex? How would we do just very quickly? And then the only thing we kept from that week, I think, was Mr. DNA.
DNA physicality.
Yeah.
Which was done really well. It was great. I think everyone loved Mr. DNA.
It's really fun. And so we just basically, we give it a go and we see what works. There are scenes that people come up to us after and say, oh, you didn't do that one bit. And we go, yeah, we know, we'd love to have done all of it, but there's not much time. And we have tried, believe me, but the stuff we've kept in the show now is the stuff that works the best for us and our style and our physicality and our characters. And so we do try all of it.
Which is the scenes that we need to tell the story.
Mm.
So we knew exactly what, I think we knew quite early on which scenes in the film stood out as us as immediately associable with the film. So we were like, okay, those are the scenes we have to have. There's a minimum of scenes from the films that will satisfy the fans of the film. But then from the family, I think maybe the family was a little bit more tricky because we want as little set as possible. We don't want to have to create a whole kitchen and stuff like that. So to create the right memories throughout the family story, to see what's, give hints of what's happened without overtelling it. You know, that I think that was a little bit more tricky.
Mm.
But that's where the kind of very careful writing happens, when we're like, what moments in their life is it that we actually need? And we found that a lot of the mundane moments are actually the most interesting, not necessarily the actual arguments that made a divorce happen or something, but it's the small things which we all have from our own lives and families, family life, that it's the everyday moments that matter in a way and kind of define us.
What do you think of Jurassic World?
We were really excited that a new film came out, but we didn't really feel like it had the same weight as the first film, because the last film felt a bit like it sort of defied natural laws a little bit, like some of the animals were actually talking to each other, and like you can't, like it felt, didn't feel right that you can tame raptors and stuff. To us, we like the way the first film stays true to its to the book, I guess, and the principles that it's trying to put across.
I think for me, it was definitely of its time. It was like a generational film. Like, kids are going to grow up with not Jurassic Park. They'll say Jurassic World. That was our film when we were young, because kids love Jurassic World. They absolutely go nuts for it, which is great. I'm really happy that they can get into dinosaurs like that, because that's what Jurassic Park did for our generation. Was get everyone into dinosaurs, was get everyone scared, and have a communal kids film that was also scary and edgy. But then the book is about chaos theory. You know, it's about this scientific principle that you can't maintain order in nature because it's too unpredictable. And then, you know, it's just little things like, there's such a strong female character in Jurassic Park, Ellie Sattler. She's take charge. She literally just takes raptors on herself. And that was great. And you don't even notice that until you... I don't want to talk too badly about Jurassic World, because I did really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I think that was one criticism about it, was the female characters in that are not strong. I mean, she kind of literally runs to a man to help her.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't catch Ellie Sattler doing that.
No.
So, and well, it was stuff like that for me. But I love Jurassic World. It was really fun.
I agree.
But Jurassic Park is our film, our generation's film.
Yeah. I feel like Jurassic Park, the first one, I feel like it was targeted at a much, much broader audience in terms of age. Because when I see it now, I still take the film completely seriously. Like, I don't think it's silly. I think it's really intriguing. It's a proper thriller. The monsters don't come out until, you know, really late in the film. Whereas in Jurassic World, they come right away. And you can tell that this is going to be an action adventure, and it feels targeted at 8-year-olds or 8 to 12. Like, for me, that's what it feels like, because of the way the dinosaurs are behaving, how easily the characters move on from one thing to another. In the Jurassic Park, the kids are shaking with fear for several scenes after they've been attacked by the T-Rex. But in Jurassic World, they're literally this close, just a few inches from being eaten by a T-Rex, and then the next scene they're giggling and laughing around,
and
nervously, just genuinely having an alright time.
Yeah.
And that I found a bit confusing.
Cool. Like that raptor chasing the car, like, that's cool. Your boyfriend is cool. Like, you are about to die.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
So yeah, I think it's just a different, they've targeted differently. I don't think we can be, but we can't be the judges of the quality.
We went to see the Jurassic World exhibit at the Melbourne Museum, which was fantastic.
Right.
Oh my God.
It was like, lovely. And we met the Creature Technologies. Creature Technologies are the people who do the major projects for animatronics in the kind of walking with dinosaurs and stuff like that.
If you've ever seen like a YouTube video of a raptor chasing someone in an office, that was them.
The Japanese.
They're fantastic. They came and saw our show and then invited us to come to their studio. So we got a tour of the whole hangar where they make all the big dinosaurs, and that was amazing. Proper dream come true.
Brilliant.
And they've done stuff for like the Sochi Olympics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Massive, massive puppetry. It was astonishing.
Yeah.
It's a massive honour. And then so we went to the exhibition at the Melbourne Museum the day after and saw it in real life, which is great.
But it's a great honour for you as well, because this is the man who they wrote Jurassic World for. This was their target audience.
Right.
Here.
Clearly the overgrown man-child population. Go see anything with a slight nostalgic link to his childhood. Yeah. No.
So you were literally on the phone when they were editing the last movie. No, not that bit. They're too sad.
Yeah. More action.
I want to see Dr. Wu again.
Bring back Dr. Wu.
For the sake of it.
Exactly. Kids don't care. Everyone else goes, Dr. Wu.
He hasn't aged a day.
He has not. He's looking good. So how many times do you reckon you guys have individually seen Jurassic Park now?
We watched it all together when we agreed to do Jurassic Park. And then we had our phones and laptops in the rehearsal room every day. So if we were working on a scene... But this is the thing, we never... It wasn't a case of playing the scene, stopping it, doing that bit, playing the scene. We would watch it and then just try and pretty much do it from memory, because that's what they're doing on stage. Yeah. They're recreating it from what they can remember. So you've got those certain lines. And there are things that we have some characters say that those characters in the film don't say, for example. And that's just because... Either it ended up working like that in rehearsal and that's how we remembered it, or it should it should really be Noah saying this bit as so-and-so, not
so many moments we've had people go, oh, that was exactly like in the film, and then months later we've looked back at the film and been like, that's, but we're not saying it right.
But why do people think it's...
We actually have a... It's really interesting. We have a communal memory of, like, we all share the similar memories of what people say in the film without it being accurate. It's really interesting.
My mum can testify to the fact that I had it on pretty much every day for 2-3 months. But the weird thing is I grew up in Switzerland, so I was watching it in French. Jurassic Park was for me a French film. And then the first time I saw it in English was for this show.
That is hilarious.
Really?
I'd seen clips and stuff, but never the whole sit down watch Jurassic Park in English. That was
what
for
does
this.
A French Swiss Ian.
Je peux pas nous voir.
Vous laissez.
Bouge pas.
Bouge pas. Yeah, that's pretty. That's it. Like, c'est le tyrannosaure.
Tyrannosaure X.
Il peut pas nous voir, sauf si on bouge. Yeah, that was my childhood.
Thank you for bringing your childhood to the stage here in Bristol today.
Thank you so much for coming to see it.
Yeah.
It is amazing. We're always delighted to see science fiction on stage. or anywhere.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming again.
Yeah.
Not at all. And please bring the Uncanny Valley back.
We were touring it just a few weeks ago. But not here, though. Okay. We were touring
it
in Norway.
In Norway.
Where I'm from. So.
That's a fun show.
Yeah.
He plays a weatherman. I play... Oh, you also play a weatherman. It's about
Maria.
The weather.
Maria plays a robot.
Maria's the robot.
Which she won an award for.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about...
I won an award for this show. I won Best Supporting Actor.
So guess who was considered the lead?
Yeah, what is next?
I mean, you hint that maybe Independence Day?
Well...
I mean, the sequel comes out in 2 weeks. So, I mean, if you're looking for that time...
We are talking about many different things. Titanic in space.
I'd watch that.
That might be a 3-minute sketch instead of a whole hour.
We don't know is the answer. We've had so many chats over this tour, over this past year. We have so many different avenues. We've got a space this summer booked out to do some R&D on just anything we want to pursue. And
things are brewing in the cauldron.
Yeah.
But... nothing's emerged.
Whatever happens, we reckon it'll be very different to what we've done so far.
Don't run away from sci-fi too far.
Okay.
Probably won't.
There was talk of time travel.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. There was at one point.
I'm sure you can.
Mark Zuckerberg. Time travelling.
That was literally one conversation.
I promise that's our next joke.
Thank you very much indeed to Froda, Simon and of course Ty for that. I hope you enjoyed it. Do check out their website and try and see some of their plays if ever you can. And we'll be back very soon with an episode all about the Disney Pixar film Inside Out. If you'd like to hear more from The Cosmic Shed, visit thecosmicshed.com or you can follow us on Twitter at The Cosmic Shed. And thank you for listening. Goodbye. Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.